This week on Vox Talks, how good are we at learning from experience and can we get better at it? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. We have all overestimated how much work we can get done in a day or how much exercise we're going to do next week. But why do we keep getting it wrong in the face of all the evidence from our experience? And how can we become better judges of our future selves? A new CEPR discussion paper by Yves Lau Wonk and Peter Schwartmann of the University of Munich investigates these questions, and Peter's here today. Peter, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Most people think of this as a sort of question that psychologists answer, don't they, Peter? Why should we think about this from the point of view of economics?
Well, yeah, I think that's fair enough. So let me first say that I think self-control problems and our beliefs about self-control matter for many economically important contexts. Think, for example, effort provision in the workplace, retirement savings, what kind of contracts we sign with our gym or our credit card company. So these topics really are at the core of economics. That said, psychologists obviously have done a lot of important work on time preferences on this topic, and we should take this very seriously. So one reason, however, why I think that as economists, we might also want to run our experiments on these topics and not leave it exclusively to psychologists is that we run these kind of experiments with our economic models in mind. And so the evidence we gather often maps more directly into the assumptions we want to test of our models.
As you say, you tend to run experiments in this part of economics. You did an experiment to investigate this problem, didn't you? What did you do?
All right, so we invited participants to our lab here in Munich and briefed them on our experimental procedures and on an experiment that would involve them from their home computers repeatedly working on an effortful task against payment. So these tasks were rather uninteresting, so that their completion would require participants to exert self-control. The task either involved repeatedly positioning sliders on a target value or counting the numbers of zeros in a table of ones and zeros. What we find is that in line with previous experiments, participants are present biased. What that means is that they choose a higher workload when they choose their effort for a future date than when their future date arrives and they choose their effort on the spot. And what we also find is that participants are naive in that they overestimate how much they will work in the future. And now what we're really interested in is whether subjects are able to shed their naivete to learn after they had the opportunity to work on the task, after they gained experience with the task.
How big was the group of people that did this?
So we had all in all, I think, over 180 university students here in Munich doing this.
As you say, they were naive. They suggested that they would put in more effort later on. Did they revise their beliefs as they went along and become less naive?
So indeed they did. So after gaining experience with the task, after being exposed to it just once, they adjusted their beliefs. They became less optimistic about their future effort. So the challenge you face in this sort of environment is that you don't really know how much beliefs should change because you don't really know how informative behavior today is for behavior in the future. So as a first step, you have to ask, is my behavior today actually predictive of how much effort I'll exert in the future? And there, the answer is a resounding yes. So there's a very high correlation. If you're someone who works hard today, you're someone who works hard tomorrow. So there is a lot to learn. So much of the work we do is in pinning down how much you should learn. And then we reach the conclusion subjects actually learn appropriately. They update the appropriate amount.
For this, how can you be sure that you're investigating their learning about themselves rather than learning about the task and updating what they think they can do based on that?
Right. So I think that's a great question. We see that subjects transport what they learn from one task to improve their predictions of future effort in a different, albeit related task. So that tells us that what they learn does not seem to be maximally task specific. But that said, ultimately, it's still not clear whether they learn about their personal propensity sort of to feel bored in this kind of task, their effort costs, or whether they learn about some deep preference. I'd also say that these things are hard to disentangle even intuitively. Think about my failure to stick to my exercising regime and me becoming aware of this. Is this because I'm becoming aware of my present bias, or is it because I'm learning how unpleasant I find exercising? To what extent are these things different? But that said, we actually intend to find a more nuanced answer to this very question in future work and disentangle these two more than we can in the current data set.
Were your results what you expected to find?
I'd say no, they were not. So if I had to put money on it, I would have bet against people being very apt at learning from their past experiences, and especially being prone to forget about or not weigh appropriately the bad news, the failure to exert self-control.
I ask this because if it is possible to learn from experience, and we can all do that, and we can all apply that to other tasks, why are we all so bad at it?
Yeah, that's correct. So I think we don't resolve this puzzle. What we do is we decrease the set of possible explanations. We now know it doesn't seem to be some fundamental bias in how we update, but it might well be a bias that arises in the more complicated, complex environments of the real world. So one of the things that might be going on is that as the environment becomes more complicated, there's more of an opportunity to misattribute failures to circumstances that we sort of shut down because it was fairly simple or fairly clear what situation subjects found themselves in. It may also be that longer time lags imply that biased memory plays a role. And finally, obviously, the difference between the different tasks we try to complete in the real world might be more substantial. So it's not clear, and I think it's an interesting question to ask, whether my propensity to procrastinate on tax returns is informative about my propensity to procrastinate with my papers. And if it is, I am aware of that and learn from the one about the other. So these are all things that are part of the real world and not so much our context.
I notice also in the paper that you point out that we underestimate what it's possible for us to learn about ourselves from doing tasks, either one like this, an experiment, or something similar in the real world. How do you get to this conclusion, and what's the effect of this bias?
Right. So when we ask subjects at the very beginning, I mean, in a sense, imagine us asking them, how informative do you think your effort tomorrow is for your predictions of your effort in 1 week's time? Before they've actually exerted the effort, they tell us, well, we don't think it's very predictive. We think the correlation is low. And so this means they underappreciate how much they will actually learn once they go through the experience, where we see that they do learn. And I think that's a bias that's understudied. I haven't seen much on this out, and I think it could be consequential. It could be important. If we don't appreciate that we can learn from gaining experience or exposure to a certain task, then we might be too reluctant to experiment with different work arrangements, with different ways of exercising, and kind of think, you know, we're not going to learn from this anyway. There's no need to see whether I'm going to be a more avid runner than I am a swimmer. And I think this could then be very detrimental to the individual.
There is one caveat always with lab experiments, and that is that they take place in the lab. And you've already mentioned that the outside world is a very much more complicated place, and our memories are very much more imperfect over longer time. So can what you've discovered here become something that's useful in the real world? How will we apply it?
I think it's a first step investigating this question, as lab experiments often are. Had we found that subjects are bad at learning, right, we would have had our explanation for persistent naivete. We could have tackled it. We saw that subjects are good at learning. So now our framework and our methodology really lends itself to one by one introducing facets of the real world that might explain it, and then ultimately, hopefully, finding the driver of persistent naivete. I should say that in terms of external validity, when I did the task that our subjects had to do, the sliders task or the counting zeros task, it's boring work on a computer. And I think that is how a lot of jobs look like these days. So it's not clear to me that we're awfully far away from the real world when it comes to the nature of the task. I think we are further away from the real world when it comes to the complexity of the environment, but there's nothing keeping us from enriching this environment and seeing whether the explanation for persistent naivete lies somewhere in this complexity.
And from what you say, it sounds like you'll be doing more experiments of this type?
Yes, I think that's our plan.
Well, University of Munich students can look forward to being able to do far more boring tasks in the future.
That's right.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The paper is called Learning About Oneself, and it's by Eve and Peter, and it's CEPR discussion paper 13510. And there is also a VoxerU column about this that Eve and Peter have written, and it's called Overcoming Naivety About Self-Control, so check that out as well. Peter, when you were doing this paper and you committed to how much you would do to make your deadline, did you make your deadline?
Of course not.
Good to know. Next week on Vox Talks, how do your social media choices influence what you think about ASAP Rocky, for example?
People just tweeting about ASAP Rocky, taking both sides. On one side, they say, oh, he's a violent guy. On the other side, he's a victim because they were racist. If you only share news with people like you, maybe you're going to end up with the same view. But if you are on big social media, maybe Facebook and Twitter, maybe you're going to get much more exposed to new news. And this is a trade-off we try to model and understand in this paper.
You can find Vox Talks on most major podcast platforms. So subscribe, or you can find us every Friday at voxeu.org/vox-talks.